We are in for a treat today. I got to talk to a really great friend of mine, Desmond Brown. And I'm telling you, I've done a lot of podcasts and I've never been more comfortable, more, just excited to talk to someone than I had been with Desi. And not to say the other people weren't great too, but this podcast, the learning from it, the journey Desi's been on, it's worth the listen and the listen again for it. So join me today as I talk with my great friend, Desmond Brown. Hi everyone, it's Ken McLaughlin and welcome to Really Life. This is especially a treat for me today. I mean, all podcasts are a treat for me, but today I get to talk to a great, great friend of mine, personal friend of mine that I've known since, I think since I first started in real estate. I mean, he was there when I was really, really green in this business and we spent a lot of time together, learning the business and getting together with it and finding out what was good, what was wrong. We made a lot of mistakes together and we got a lot to talk about. And welcome, Desmond Brown.
Wow. Yeah, we do go way back, but you were already, what, a 5 or 6 year veteran by the time I met you, I think.
I don't know. When did I meet you?
About 1986, when you had just joined Remax Hallmark and I had joined Remax Hallmark.
That's right.
Just a little bit before that. And I guess I'd already heard about the legend of Ken McLaughlin from Martell there. So I think you were probably like, yeah, a good 5, 6 years ahead of me. But
yeah, I just remember meeting you when I joined Remax Hallmark. You were out of the Danforth with Danforth Dave, right? Dave Desjardins.
Yeah, Dave Desjardins. Ken Shepard, who hired me there.
Sheppy,
Gladys was there. Tom Cook, Buck and Arella.
Yeah. Wow. I remember, that was crazy. And then I used to hang out with you. It was different back then, wasn't it? I mean, it seemed different. You were single or just divorced, I think, at the time or whatever.
That back then?
And that goes Prust Avenue.
Yeah. Oh, it's a long, that was in between. That was like around the 90s. But in the early 80s, yeah, I had my first, I had my starter marriage, as we say in real estate, my starter home. I had my starter marriage for a few years. And then I moved on to a really, really good, stable marriage.
We're talking about that in a minute. But I want to talk about the days of in between, I guess, mostly, and how we kind of used to hang out a lot. Just, the 90s, I guess what I'm referring to, the market was a lot different. Mm-hmm. It was difficult. And we were transitioning. Actually, we were growing up together, I think, at the time, because we had a lot of stuff that we were dealing with. We didn't really know what we were doing. We were broke. We were all trying to figure this stuff out. But how did you get into this business? What happened?
Oh,
how did you start with it?
So I screwed up in school. I screwed up in high school. By the time I graduated, it took me 6 years to get my grade 12 diploma. And by the time I was graduating, I figured, okay, I want to be a journalist. So I started to apply to some of the community colleges, and journalism was predominantly more of a community college or a Ryerson thing back then as far as post-secondary school education goes. And my marks and everything that I had done in high school just held me back. It would not allow me to get into any of those journalism programs. So I kind of fell into real estate. Actually, first I worked for the Better Business Bureau selling ads, and then my uncle.
You did not. Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah, I
didn't know that.
For a couple of years there. And then my uncle, who owned a real estate brokerage out in Oshawa, Frank Magnus, he had a brokerage called Bagot Real Estate, BAGOT. And Bagot is the name of the first Governor General of Canada, is what I was told. So he was opening up a second location on the Danforth at Woodbine. And he said to me, he says, Des, you could do really, really well in real estate. And I said, like, really well? What's really, really well? He says, well, if you go out and knock on 50 doors a day, you will make $50,000. And I'm like, $50,000? Like, back in 1985, that's a huge amount of money, especially for a young guy like me in his mid-20s. Mm. So I went and I got my real estate license, and I did that. And I went out and I knocked on a lot of doors every day. But I only made $12,000 in my first year. I remember that. And the difference was that I wasn't really committed to real estate. I still had my taxi license. So I drove taxi in the city of Toronto.
Desi, how old were you then?
probably, so what's 1985? I'm born in 1958, so would have been 26, 27 years old. Yeah,
Okay,
so I wasn't
good.
committed,
Got it.
and I always had the taxi to drop, you know, to fall back on. And that's what I did. And then I met, well, actually, I was right across the street from RE/MAX Hallmark, and I'd see these agents, you know, pulling in Tom Cook and all these other agents pulling in every day and then leaving with people in their car. And then pulling in and leaving with people in their car. And I'm like, sheesh, what are they doing over there? So I finally got up the guts to go across the street. And I met the other legend of RE/MAX Hallmark, Kent Shepard.
He is
And
that, huh?
he sat me down and we started talking. And he says, "You really don't have an effing clue about what you're doing, do you?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess I don't." And so he says, "Here, you come over here and work with me. I will help you get on track." And
He did.
he did. He did. Those were the days when we could put an ad in the Toronto Star, we'd run with three, four, five purchasers a day,
Yeah.
right? And just go running, 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 running. And then all of a sudden, yeah, I finally did make that 50 grand that my uncle had promised that I would make, and then doubled it after that and did even better after that. Thought I was hot crap. Dave Desjeuners, who you mentioned,
Yeah.
was in the office at the time. So we decided that we would open our own office.
Yes, I
And we did
remember.
that. The Realty World office that we had, and we opened on the Danforth, had over 20 people working for us. And that was a disaster. We can get into that later,
Yeah, we
anyway.
can talk. I have some conversation about that. But I'm curious about the Shep thing, Kent Shepard, because he I've you know, I know, I mean, we all have that journey with Kent, but he the inspiration, the boost that he offered to so many people in their career, especially at the early times with you. And I know you've told me many times before how impactful he has been in your life and how he challenged you. Yeah.
Yeah, he really was. And the one thing about Kent is that he believes in people,
Yeah.
right? That's the one thing about Kent. You know, he believed in me and he actually convinced me that I could do it,
Yeah.
right? And I started believing in myself.
Yeah.
Kent, I mean, he's a character. I'll always love the guy. The one thing about Kent is that he didn't mind pushing the envelope when it comes to real estate, but he always drew the line when it came to looking after the consumer. And that's the one thing I always respected about him. You know, he'd push it a little bit with advertising or something. He says, "You know, you're not hurting anybody." He'd say, "You know, for little things like this, right?" But when it came to the consumer, he was like you. It's just like no tolerance when it came to that.
Yeah, there was no, there's no, there's a fine line there. You don't, he taught me that as well. There's, I knew that fundamentally, but he was, there's no way swagger on him at all with that. It was always straightforward. This is the consumer. This is what we're doing. He taught you that. But I know that he pushed you to be better in your career, especially at the start of your
Yeah,
career.
always, always. And he'd say to me, like, "Look at the way this guy walks down the hall.
Yeah.
Like, look at that guy has purpose. You got to walk like that guy, right? Don't just be loafing around and, you
Yeah.
know, like have some purpose in life." And
Yeah, that's
you know,
great.
I still hear his voice. I still hear his voice.
It makes me smile hear you talking about him because it brings me back to those days and the difference he made and the difference you make with people as well today, and all through your career, just being there, being a presence with people mattered. And you mentioned we talked about Dave Desjeuners or Dean Dave, as I like to call him.
Yeah, we call
And
him
you
Dean
guys went
because he
out
had the beauty
and
schools down in Michigan.
the beauty school in Michigan,
Yeah.
but a character again, and we
Yeah.
have so many characters in our lives to
Oh
talk about,
gosh.
lives to talk about. But you and Dave went out and started a company called or Realty World Centerville,
Yeah, Centerville. We
correct?
what we chose Centerville because we wanted to appeal to the referral network across the country as being in the center of Toronto, in the urban part of Toronto. So it was
Yeah.
Centerville Realty operating as Realty World Centerville. Yes.
Yeah. How long did you do that, Desi?
Two longest years of my life. I lost everything. I lost
How did
everything back
that,
then.
what surprised you of that? What did you learn from it?
Well, that I wasn't the hot guy that I thought I was, but I always had ambition, which was great. I guess I'm a lot more conservative now than I ever was because of that experience that I had, where I had my first wife back then. I lost her. I lost the house that we had. I lost the business. And I don't know if you remember, but I came back to RE/MAX Hallmark and I was broke, completely broke. And you and Ken, I don't want to tell all the other agents this, but you and Ken, so you and Kent, sorry, Kenny, you and Kent floated me.
Yeah, of course.
But you saw that I was desperate. And I like to think back to the, I tell my kids this too, that I had a tomato and a can of tuna. That's all I had in this place. And I couldn't pay my rent. And you and Kent sat me down and you said, look, you cannot sell real estate from a place of desperation. People will see that desperation and they'll see that you're working for you and not for them. Always remember that.
Yeah, I remember that too.
So you floated me. You guys started giving me like $500 a week. And I didn't have anything closing. But you guys gave me $500 a week. They said, we know you're good. You guys said to me, we know you're good for it. You'll pay us back someday.
Well, we did. And we knew your character of who you were and who you are. Mm-hmm. And it mattered, you know, that you, and you stepped up, Jesse, you did it. And it was tough though. I mean, there were times, not to interrupt your story, but there were times that, you know, I remember sitting with you in your house in Prost Avenue in the afternoons at times, just thinking what to do, you know,
what am I going to do? Where am I going?
Yeah,
man?
It was the
hitting
90s.
Rock bottom.
Yeah. And then you and I, I took a course together, which...
Oh, yeah, that changed my life.
Yeah, it changed my
right,
life
the
as
pursuit
well.
Of excellence.
Yeah, and you trusted it enough. I think I was the first one to go to the opening of it or whatever it was, and mm-hmm. you trusted my experience and my conversation about it enough to come with me to the wall. And not to go into a lot of detail about it, but it was a transformational course that we both took that changed us at the time. And
yeah, it really did. And then the thing that still stays with me today from the pursuit of excellence in the wall is that it taught me accountability. It taught me not to be a victim in life.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of reasons to be a victim in life. Yeah, I think we all do.
Yeah.
You know, just started looking at, you know, how can I make myself better? Okay, I'm in a situation now. What am I going to do to change it?
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, the things that I learned through the pursuit of excellence and the wall still stick with me today. I mean, they're a big part of my life. I try to live my life in that way. And, you know, there's times where I slide.
Yeah, I know. It's all, but I think it's a lot of it. Correct me. I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I think a lot of it were just lucky timing that came around in our life at the time that mm-hmm. we were open to listen to it. We were open to have that transformation that was going on. And it was all.
Yeah. And also, you know, people like me and others who did the wall and the pursuit of excellence because of you, like we always trusted you. You know, you've always been a great leader. And you just said, look, come and check this out. And we did.
Yeah.
And and you've always been there for me like that. And you know, you've bailed me out in a lot of different ways and we can get into that later too.
You know, yeah. But what I've observed of how you have been in your life, and we talked prior to putting rolling the camera or the audio on this, is that balance in life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like we talked about a seminar, which is so, and how important balance is and how difficult it is to get. And you actually, Desmond, you were one of the first guys I met that actually demonstrated balance.
Really?
You made a commitment. Yeah, you did. You made a commitment that your family was more important than anything else in your life.
Yeah.
And you demonstrated that, and you always have, but you put them in front of work. Now, many of us, and we all know the guilt, I'm guilty as well, and others are guilty, that work, we would be at an event and we'd take work over family because, oh, I have to get that deal to pay the rent, you know, all that stuff like that. But you actually put family first. And you know, I watched you do this, in particular, when you left Hallmark for a period.
Yeah.
And that was really about and you worked with their leadership group for a time. It was bad timing on that whole thing, but it all had to do with your balance and your life and your demonstration of that balance. And tell me a bit about that.
Okay, so... Okay, that was a little bit of a difficult time in my life when I did come back to Hallmark. So
yeah.
I was in the media, and I mean, you've supported me with every step that I've made. Like, you know, when I decided that I was leaving, real estate to pursue a real estate career. You actually introduced me to a guy named Phil Fraser, who was the
And
first black, yeah,
journalism
journalist.
career.
Sorry, oh, sorry, the journalism career.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll get it all straight here.
I love Felix, eh?
Yeah,
Wasn't oh
Felix
God.
was his name. Actually, I named, well, Alice and I named one of our sons Felix, and that was one of the main reasons. But he was known as Phil Fraser. He was the first black broadcaster in Canada, Order of Canada recipient, former head of the Human Rights Commission for
Yeah.
Alberta. He ended up being like a father figure to me, and you introduced me to him.
He's
He
a
was a,
sweetheart. I met him as a client. I was rude to him and I immediately introduced him to you because journalism
And you
and
knew I
the
wanted to
journey that
do
you're
that.
on.
So I spoke
Yeah.
to him. I said, I want to become a journalist. And he says, well, do it the right way. You have to go to journalism school. And I'm 38 years old. I started working for community newspapers to build a portfolio. I did. I applied to journalism school finally after all those years, and I was accepted at Ryerson. And I had a pretty good career in journalism. I worked at the Toronto Star, the National Post, Ottawa Citizen for a summer.
Where did you first work when you got your degree?
The
Does it,
National.
where did
Well,
you?
I never got my degree. I left after 2 years because I got a job, and then I ended up at
At the
CTV.
National.
Yeah, after getting laid off from the National Post, but basically. My first internship, or well, I was at the Toronto Star. That was a part-time job while I was in school. And then I got the job at the Ottawa Citizen for the summer, moved Alice and Otis to Ottawa for the summer. Otis was just
Now,
six weeks old.
you were married at the
Yeah,
still
we
are,
were. And
but
that's,
you
I
were
mean, that's one of the
married.
biggest
Because that's
influences.
a
Yeah, I
big
mean, you
stretch
introduced
to.
me to Alice, and that's, I'll be forever thankful for
We're
that, right? But anyway,
talking about that in a
more. So we
minute.
move on to that. So
Yeah.
I go into journalism and I was there for, and I kept coming back to that, the hard time at Hallmark. And I figured it was time to leave. I just wasn't going anywhere after 7 years at CTV. I was afraid, and I say this all the time to people, I was afraid I was going to be standing in front of yellow police tape the day before I resigned doing some murder.
Yeah,
And
I know.
I just had to get out. So I was hired at TD Bank to write for the CEO of TD Bank. But for some reason, the vice president that I reported to never let me meet the person I was supposed to write for. So it was a disaster. And
That's
I
a
didn't make
tough
it through my
period in your
probationary
life.
period.
Yeah, that was
Yeah.
a tough, I
Yeah, you
remember
remember
that.
those. I didn't make it through
Yeah.
my probationary period. So they fired me. And the next thing I know, like I'm speaking to you, and you gave me the soft landing. Yeah, you and Deborah gave me the soft landing. I'll be forever grateful for that. I ended up coming back. I did not have my license anymore. I had my broker's license before I left real estate. I never thought I'd be coming back, but then it was like, oh, it didn't seem like a bad idea. I started managing the office for you, right?
And
And then,
you got your course, your class back, or your license, yeah.
And while I was getting my license back, and then I started moving into sales after, and that's when I teamed up with a couple of people there, and we talk about the life work balance where my kids would come first. So
So how
the
old were the kids then, Desi?
well, if we're looking at 19, oh gosh, we're looking at around 2008. My oldest son was born in 1998, so he would have been, yeah, he would have been about 10, 11 years old. 11 years old. Otis would have been 11.
I remember that you were always, every day, impacting with them, being involved with their school, their sports, their, you were there.
Yeah,
Like
I
you
didn't want to
picked them
miss it. Like
up. Yeah.
I was 40 years old when Otis was born. You know, like gosh, what's important at that age, right? Right. So then Otis was about 10 or 11, and then Cyrus is 4 years younger, and then Felix, 2.5, 3 years younger. So anyway, I was with a couple of guys. We were on a team, and the team didn't work. Just because they perceived that I wasn't putting enough into the team because I had more of my focus on family. And then I'm going to be really straight here. I left Hallmark because something happened and I felt that I wasn't getting the support from you and Deb. And which was really, I mean, it was heartbreaking actually, because you and I have been so close for so many years, and we had a falling out. It's as simple as that. And we didn't talk for a while. Then I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional here about this, but you approached me
Me too.
again a few years later and said, let's just let all this shit stay
No,
behind us, right? Let's just,
let's be
like,
true.
life's too short, basically. You said,
No,
let's.
let's be truthful about this. You are the guy that did that more than me. I mean, we both did it, but You were all over it, Desi. You were
Well,
the one that was.
yeah, I
Anyway,
guess I do
so.
remember that now because, believe it or not, you were a very close friend, and
Listen, I was there when Otis was born,
you were
remember?
there
I
when
mean, you
Otis was
remember.
born. I mean, I met Alice through you, right? And like you were always there, like to bail me out. You're like a big brother to me, and
Anyway.
it was weird. I was telling Alice, I said, I keep dreaming about this guy. I'm not in love with him, okay? But I gotta somehow, approach him and at least get some closure on all of this. And I think we did
And
have a
we met
couple of
at
things.
Il Fornello, we met at Il Fornello on the Danforth.
And then it didn't go that well. I mean, it went okay, but then we didn't
Is this
really
getting a little
connect after.
sappy?
Yeah, not real. Well, yeah, it's always sappy. We're guys, we're sappy. I'm old enough now to say I can be sappy. That's that
I love
feminine
you. I
side
can
that
old
comes out
enough
of
to
me.
tell you that I love you.
Yeah.
So
So
you
anyway,
came
yeah. So
back.
that's where all the balance came, and I decided that that's the way I was going to do it. When I built my real estate career, so I went to LePage, and Jen and Keith Burton took me there, and they were
Great
very
guys.
supportive of me and really supported me. And then I just said, if I'm going to do this business, I'm doing it my way, right? And
You
that's
do.
where I have my
And
balance.
you've built it that way. You really control it. You run it that way. And it's incredible. I'm so proud of you. I want you to share though, Desi, not Bill, but I'd like you to share as much as you want about how you deal with major things in your life, over your life. Because you hinted at it earlier that you've been through a lot and all this, and I know you've been through a lot. And you know what? There's rising up to it. And it's not been easy, and there's things, but what is the foundation of your life? I know you get you and Alice and your family is that is the whole thing, but this whole journey you've been on, you've had to plow through it.
Wow. Well, the journey really started when I lost my mother when I was 5 years old. And I don't want to get into the details of all of this, but that's the reason why I contribute to the Red Door Shelter is because of my mother's death. And I'll just leave it at that. That's my number one charity. And my older brother Merv, he was 13 years old when my mother passed away. He took it hard. He never got over it. It led him to a life of drug abuse and alcoholism, and he died at the age of 40. My younger brother Kevin and I, we were basically, it was the two of us against the world. It really was. He, well, we were raised by these, we were raised by my grandmother's sisters,
Auntie,
two old Jamaican ladies.
I
So
know.
we had to fend for ourselves. My older brother Merv, in his teens,
Well, you're an East End guy, right?
yeah, I was an
Desi,
East End guy, yeah,
Florence Park,
Coxwood, Girard area. My older brother Merv, really, like I said, he struggled, but he had quite the life while he was struggling. So he ended up joining the Navy at age 18, traveled the world on an aircraft carrier, ended up in British Columbia. He was a hippie.
Yeah, he ended up in the
He
coast on the
ended up out in
island,
British
wasn't he?
Columbia. And I beg your pardon?
He was on the island, wasn't he, with Peter
Yeah,
Brooks?
he was on the island,
Or Stephen Brooks, yeah.
Vancouver Island. And, yeah, so never really, we weren't very close. But then when we did connect, before it was all over for him, before he passed away, we were very close. So, it was just that age difference, 7 years difference. So basically it was Kevin and I. So how do I approach the world? Well, I guess Kevin and I always wanted more. We always wanted more than what we had. And we pretty well, hope drove us. Hope drove us, to have something better than what we had. And we always had faith in ourselves and faith in each other that we could be something.
Did your auntie raise you that way?
Well, the thing with an old Jamaican auntie raising you is that she thought, okay, you go to school every day and you're getting an education. She doesn't know that I'm going to school every day and I'm screwing up, that I'm going into the bathroom and I'm not going to tell you
Yeah, but still,
what
I
I'm
mean,
that's not a crude thing, but you know what I mean? Getting involved with
yeah,
pot and all
those
that
are those
stuff
days.
and yeah, approaching the days like that and just screwing up. So she figured that if I go to school, I get the same equal education that everybody gets. she didn't know that, you have to be an advocate for your child with the teachers, with the education system, and to know if I'm slipping through the cracks. So she had not a
Yeah,
clue.
but Desi, I want to go back for a minute because you have, if there ever was anybody that had the circumstances in their life to say, this is too tough, I'm just going to exist through it. That was your life. There was a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
But you and, listen, please, you and Kevin, and I don't know Kevin that well. I know him, but I don't know him that well. You dug down. There was something inside you that caused you to say, this wasn't acceptable. I'm going to make a difference for my life, my family, my future, and do things. You took chances, and that was in you. And there was something that sparked that.
Yeah, I guess it's almost like maybe the pursuit of excellence reminded me of it, that not to be a victim, because
Yeah.
that was the attitude that we
That was
had.
big, eh?
That was the attitude that Kevin and I had growing up. It was like and I don't mean to be harsh about this, but I don't have a lot of tolerance for some of the excuses I hear from people these days, where, oh, he didn't have a chance when he had started because of this, so he turned his life to crime, or he, all this. I just don't have the time for that
Doesn't
stuff,
make sense.
because we have choices. We have choices, and Kevin and I made the choice that we weren't going to be idiots, basically, right? We were going to make the most out of our lives. And
And you did.
but you don't do it alone. Like, you don't do it alone. I've
No.
had so many great people in my life that helped me along the way and saw things in me that I didn't see, and saw things in Kevin that people saw things in Kevin they didn't see, that he didn't see, sorry. So, we do need a lot of help. And that's what Phil Fraser always said. I mean, Phil Fraser was amazing. And he just said, Des, I've had a lot of help along the way. The guy was a phenomenal man,
Yeah, what was his wife's
right?
name? I forget. She was spectacular, and
Her name
I
was,
can't
was it
remember.
Gladys?
Yeah, just brilliant. And I remember being in his presence and how inspired I was just being there and talking to him and the mentorship he offered even to me, because I wasn't even in the journalism business, but he was just a sweet, sweet man. I'm so glad you connected with
Amazing.
him.
Yeah,
And
no, I'm glad you did. And yeah, but this whole thing about life, like, we really can't do it on our own.
No.
Like, we can't, right?
No.
We really do need that support out there, and we have to be open to it. Like, our eyes have to be open to the help that's out there. Unfortunately, my brother Merv,
Yeah.
we tried, and he just wasn't open to the help. And it was so much pain after losing my mom that he never got over it. His whole life, he never got over it.
You, what drives you now?
Well, I still, the balance drives me. Sometimes getting, it's a challenge. It always is.
But you have a great career. You have a beautiful family. You have variety in your life. What is it that, what's the next 10 years look like for you? What is it that you want to create?
I want to continue to be, and I hope I am right now, a good husband. All right. I want to continue to do that. I want to continue to be a good father. I want to be there to help the boys make big decisions in life. And also along the way, I want to be the way I'd like to see them be, right? I do my best not to be hypocrite. Well, I do my best not to be hypocritical in life. I try to lead by example. And I have some. Right now, I'm spending a lot of time with my youngest son Felix because he's into basketball, and I've got to drive him all over. So we have a lot of chats. And it's just being consistent. Just being consistent, and letting my loved ones and the people around me know that they're not, it's not a Jekyll and Hyde situation. They know who they're getting when they turn to me. When I wake up in the morning and they come down and say good morning to me, or if you bump into somebody in the street, they know who you are, and they know they're going to get that consistent person.
Yeah, that's Desi.
There's nothing worse than that, when I'm like, who the hell is, who are they today? I'm afraid. And we've bumped into a lot of people like that in life. But yeah, I just want to, like, for me to keep going like this, I guess, like I said, this is an important time in my son's lives. And we talk about, being there for them when they're younger. But as father of four boys as well, the crucial years are those teen years, right? Where they can, go in any direction. So I find that I tried to spend a lot more time with them in the teen years, and I'm doing my best to be a part of their lives now that I've got two off at university and just one at home. And I do my best to reach out and, stay in touch,
So important, isn't it? It's so important. And you demonstrate that, the balance of it. And let's talk a bit about your career. I mean, you do have a tremendous career. You work hard at it. You're really connected to your client base. And you have a network out there that supports you and a reputation in an industry that is very strong with integrity based.
No, thank you. Well, I've been lucky. I've been really lucky. I
I don't
have
know.
some really good people
I don't know if
that I
luck has
deal
anything to do
with.
with it. I think you work really hard,
Yeah.
Lizzie. Yeah. And you continue
Well,
to work really hard.
I cherish those relationships. I really do. And when somebody refers you on to someone, oh my God, like, is there a greater compliment? I know people have that on their cards. There's no greater compliment than refer, but it's so
I
true.
know it is, isn't
It's so
it?
true. Like they're entrusting you to their loved ones, to their friends. So you better frickin' deliver,
Yeah.
man.
Well, you do, and you work hard at it, and you're a big voice in the community out there. Red, tell us a bit about Red. Is it Red Door?
Oh, well, the Red Door Shelter, it's basically helps women escape from abusive relationships, abusive situations, women and their children. So
Yeah,
that's
that's
yeah
big.
that that's where I focus most of my well, and I don't spend a lot of time with the Red Door Shelter, but
When you do spend the time, that's where it
that's where my
is.
charitable do that's where my charitable donations go. And we did it with the Leslieville Flea as well, where we collected donations. Ebony, Jennifer, and I collected donations for the Red Door Shelter this last Christmas, and we did that the last couple of years at the Leslieville Flea. So we try to support them any way we can and get the word out there that it's really, really important.
It is.
Really, really
You're
important.
also involved a lot. I think you sit on the board of the community newspaper, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm on
Yeah.
the Beach Metro Community News, and I'm on the board there. I'm the
Are
past
you?
president. I
Okay.
was president and the treasurer before that. Yeah, the
Yeah.
journalism thing in me, and that's why I have my podcast too, right? It's a newspaper that's really dear to my heart as well. I remember it as a kid. It was called the Ward 9 News, and it's been around just way back into the 70s. It was started to stop the Scarborough Expressway
Is that right?
From going through our
Oh, wow.
neighborhoods here. Yeah, like that extension of the Gardner Expressway was to cut right through the beaches all the way out to Scarborough. So there was this grassroots movement to stop it, which they did, and a lot of it was based around this paper, the Ward 9 News. And anyway, it's grown into a really valuable part of the community over the years. And I sat on the board. I've been sitting on the board now for probably about 6 years. I've done that. Sat on the Ted Reeve board. I like to volunteer, and that's something Alice and I, really believe in is giving back to the community in any way we can. And I sat on the Herb Carnegie Futurasis board as well. And Herb Carnegie should have been the first black hockey player to make it to the NHL. Should have been, but was held back because of his color. I don't know. There are a couple of other things. I don't quite remember them all, but I stay busy with a lot of different things.
Alice. So I knew Alice before you did. So I'm just saying, okay? And it's you both are a beacon for each other in your lives and your family. And it's really nice to see. And it's really the I'm going to tell you, it's that poster child thing of the balance in life and really putting things first that are important, that's mattered to you. And I'm really proud of you for doing that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, she's my rock. Like she really is. And it's gonna be this summer. It's gonna be 28
And
years.
you had your reception in my house,
That's right. That's
I
right.
think. Yeah, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, God,
Your
like I
pod.
said, I met Alice through you, right? And I'll be forever grateful for that, like seriously. And
Desi, we're going to wrap up soon. And I'm couldn't be happier about that that introduction. It's you're both sensational. What would you tell your peers, your real estate agents, the people you know out there that are just starting out in this business? What conversation would you have with them?
This business is really hard for people starting out. Like it really is. And you need a lot of support. And I'm not just talking about emotional support, but you need financial support, you know. And when I came back and started over again, after leaving journalism, I could not have made it to where I am today without the financial support and the emotional support that I had from home. And Alice had a steady job, and there were months where we're not getting paid. And it took me a long time to ramp up again, right? So going back to way back in the 90s, that conversation that you and Kent had with me about you can't come from a place of desperation. You can't. So that support that I had the second time around with Alice was, I mean, if not for her, I would not have the success in real
Yeah,
estate today.
you're right.
Okay, so that's one. So what do you say? Probably join a team. Join a team. We have the teams now. Join a team and learn whatever you can, and don't get yourself deep into debt when you're starting out. I mean, we used to do, I mean, I had one of the first car phones. You had one of the first car phones, right? Things like that. You know, we get the car,
God, it's
and then,
expensive.
the philosophy was, you know, oh, just sell another house, and you'll cover it, cover it.
So what was
But
one
anyway, I
deal?
would,
One deal, was it?
exactly. Yeah. So, I would say, you know, be patient and build a career. Like, build a career, do the little things every day. And this is what you taught me too. What do you do every day to move your business forward? And I mean, this company, Hallmark, has all of the support networks and resources in place for people to be successful. It's just a matter of, you know, what are your goals? And it goes back to, I know we're flaky people. Real estate agents are flaky people. We do all these, you know, seminars and all this stuff, but they keep us going, right? They keep us going, and they help us to teach us to believe in ourselves. So you have to believe in yourself, whatever you're going to do. Set goals,
And trust it. Trust that it's going to be okay if you do the work. You know, it's
and
all.
trust it. And yeah, exactly. And you know, just be good to your clients,
Treat them the way you want.
right? Just be good to them. And it's amazing what'll come
It's
back.
not that complicated, eh, Desi? It
Yeah.
really isn't.
It's not about us. It's not about us. If they're thinking about us, then we have a problem.
I know you're looking for team members, whoever fortunate people to work for you. That'd be all. If you guys want to work for a great guy, work with a great guy who will mentor you, and you're new in this business and you want to get going, just give Desi a call
Oh, thank
or
you.
reach out to him. Yeah, because you it'd be fantastic to have somebody work for you, another guy or a woman to work for you, and to be you mentor them. And it's an incredible opportunity for people to do that. So reach out to you. Desi, how do they get a hold of you?
Des@desmondbrown.ca. That's it. That's
There
my
you go.
email
It's easy
address,
as that.
des@desmondbrown.ca. And check out my website, in6realestate.com, and
And
don't
your
miss my
blog,
podcast.
your podcast, and who was the last guy on your podcast, by the way?
Oh, who's that guy?
Who was
He has no
that
hair. Oh, it was you.
guy?
It was
That
you.
was
Yeah,
so much fun.
it was a great
Yeah,
one.
I guess you can, people that are listening, you can get some mutual love in here. I mean, Desmond's been a brother to me all my 40, 35 years in this business, and we've had our ups and downs, but he's a big part of my life, and I'm proud of him, and I'm proud to call you my friend.
Me too,
And
Kenny.
this has been fun, Desi.
A
It's
lot
been
of fun.
fun.
Thanks for having me on your podcast. It's really interesting being on the other end of this.
Yeah, the reason I have a podcast is because of you as well. So there you go. Isn't that funny how it all works
It
out?
all works out. Yeah, well, you trust me too, and I trust you, so thank you.
Yeah, I do. There you go. So thanks everybody for listening. Desi, it's been a blast, buddy. Here's to another 40 years, okay?
For sure. Definitely.
Okay,
Here's to
so I'll
that.
see you on the flip side.
Okay.
Okay,
Take
bye
care,
guys.
Kenny.
Bye.